Matthew chapter 2 this evening. Turn with me. You got your Bible? If you don't, look on with somebody. Matthew chapter number 2. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together and we'll read this together and honor the Lord's word and give you a minute to stretch your legs. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When he had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. And two or three times, at least three times, we read in this account of the Lord Jesus coming as a virgin-born baby. There were people looking for him, all the way up to the king was looking for him, and they all had different motives and different reasons, but they were all being guided, and something had struck their attention. Something was pointing people in the direction of this newborn king. And as you just heard saying, and as we just read in the scripture, that thing that was pointing and shining a light toward Jesus was none other than this star. And so for a little bit this evening, I want to look at this star of Bethlehem, as it's been referred to. And hopefully, I want to underscore just before we get started. In verse 2, it said, "We have seen his star in the east." And then you drop down to verse number 7. Herod said, inquire of them diligently what time the star appeared. And then verse 10, it goes and talks about when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So over and over, we see this star being alluded to. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to just draw some characteristics about stars, and uniquely this star, and how we as Christian people can and should have the same characteristics as this star. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you, more than just some star that shined in Bethlehem in Judea 2,000 plus years ago. How we as Christian believers should and can shine the light and point men and women, boys and girls, toward the Lord Jesus, as this star did. In Matthew chapter 2, these men were on the move. The Bible refers to them as wise men. And I'll say this, any man or woman boy or girl that's moving toward Jesus is a wise person. Any step you take toward God is a wise move. Any step away from Him is a very unwise move. But they are not moving because they had heard some great prophecy, though the prophecy had been given hundreds and hundreds of years ago. These men were not on the move necessarily because they had heard of the prophecy, or they had just come out of a revival meeting and heard some great preacher or orator get up and thunder some great message and sermon to compel them to go. No, they were simply out and they saw a star shining and began moving toward that star, and the star began moving, as we read, which is very uncommon and very unusual to see a star move. I'll say more about that in a minute, but stars stay put. But this one was on the move. And so it was this bright star shining that caused the men to leave where they were and to pursue this newborn king. And let's notice some of the characteristics about the star and try to apply them to us as believers. Number one, stars have a fire burning on the inside. Unlike the moon, the moon reflects light from the sun, but stars, they don't need and consist of another's light to shine. In and of themselves, they shine and burn bright. And so stars are not like the moon. The moon does not produce its own light. It's merely the reflection of the sunlight. The moon does not produce any light in and of itself. That's why sometimes you see the moon, sometimes you don't. If it's a cloudy day or different times of the month, you'll see a little bit of the moon or a lot of the moon, and it's all consisting on how much exposure it has to the sun and to us, but not the stars. The stars don't depend on another to produce the light and the power that they have to shine. Stars, unlike the moon, they have their own source of strength, fire, and illumination power. It's important that our lives not just be a reflection of others, other people's lives who are shining bright. You know a Christian and you say, boy, they just seem to be on fire for God. Their light is bright and powerful, and that's wonderful. And boy, we all need to be around them kind of people. It gets old being around dull, dingy, dead Christian people that never puts off any illumination, never any power, just the same old dry, boring. But if you get around somebody and they've been with God and they have the power of God on the inside of them, it does illuminate. It does have power that's wonderful. However, we cannot depend on other people and everybody else to draw strength from so that we can shine and reflect off of other people's light. That's what this star, I'm saying about the star first, it produces its own power, its own illumination, because it don't depend on another source. And as believers, I don't know about you, I need other Christian people. That's what we have a church for. I thank God for the church and for other believers. But if all my strength and all my power and all my illumination to others in this dark world we're living, if all that comes from other people, then when other people are not shining, then I'm ineffective. And if you come to church and it's a dead service, And the choir was off, and the preaching was off, and you leave, and nobody seemed to have any power whatsoever, no shine whatsoever, then we will be destined and doomed to go out that week if we're depending on somebody else and everybody else, that we will go out just simply reflecting the dullness that we've been in contact with, but not the star. Unlike the moon, it has its own source of power. And again, I thank God for the church. I thank God for Sunday school. I thank God for Sunday school teachers who study and prepare and come and shine a light for Jesus. And I thank God for the good singing, the choir, and the congregation. What a blessing. But I've been in church long enough. Please hear me. How many people be honest and say, sometimes we just come to church and it's dead as a doornail? I mean, it's as dry as last year's cracker juice. It's dry. It's cold and dead. Well, that happens. That's just a reality. If you've been in church any length of time, you know It happens. And not just churches. I've had people leave a church where I pastored because we found another church up the road that's just a little more lively and has a little more power. Hang on. Listen, they too will experience dead services. And we too, thank the Lord, if you hang around, will experience lively and powerful services again. It's part of it. And that's why, because it's always changing. When you're dealing with people, it's always changing. When you're dealing with a church, it's always changing. But listen, as believers, we, like the star, should have our own source of power that's burning on the inside and not depending on another to reflect us so that we can shine and point people to Jesus. So let's move on. Stars have a fire on the inside. Jeremiah said this, the prophet. He said, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not walking for God anymore. I've had enough. I quit. But the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But the word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Do you know it's hard to walk away from somebody who won't walk away from you? Ain't you glad every time you wanted to quit on the Lord, He didn't quit on you? He just kept walking towards you and with you and for you. And it's hard to quit on somebody that won't quit on you. And boy, thank God for that. I thank God for preaching and singing, praising of other people. But I want there to be a fire like Jeremiah in my soul, in my own spirit, in my own personal walk with the Lord that don't have to have other people to make sure that I can shine for Jesus. Listen, do you know you can control your own spiritual destiny? Say, well, I just ain't what I should be because my church ain't what it should be, and I just ain't what I should be because mom and daddy ain't what they ought to be, and so on. Well, that sounds good, but it just ain't true. One of the probably the most famous statement that a dear friend of mine says, and I've heard him say it more than anything else I've ever heard him say, Brother Rackley will say, your spirituality is your responsibility. Right. And you let that sink in. It's so, so very true. If your spirituality is not where you want it to be, don't point the finger at other people in other directions. Your spirituality is your responsibility. Yeah. It's so true. So when the church is down, listen, your fire can still be blazing for Jesus, even when the church is dead, even when your family or your people are dry. You can shine. If I'm the only Christian in the world, listen, or the only Christian at the job or in the school, I want my light to shine. I want to be able to point people to Jesus because, listen, the world didn't give me my power. The world didn't give me my illumination for Jesus. He did. And so the world can't take it away. Neither can they from you. And so like the star, we ought to have a fire burning on the inside of us because stars are not reflections of light. They produce their own. In the Old Testament, priests had many, many jobs. They had a lot of ministries and responsibilities. But one of their main duties, if you read, was to trim the wick. There was the lamp of God in those days. And one of the main responsibilities of the priest was to make sure, no matter what he had to do, keep oil in the lamp, keep the wick in the lamp trimmed, and see to it that the lamp of God would not burn out or go out. And I'd say to us as Christian people, one of our main responsibilities, we got a lot. If you're a mother or a father, one of your top responsibilities is raising your children. If you're a husband or a wife, you got a huge responsibility to your mate, to the love of your life. But far above any of those, to your job, to your church, but superseding all of those is to make sure that you do not let the light of God and the flame of God flicker out in your life, because it will absolutely affect every other relationship we just mentioned. with your children. If your fire burns out, if all you are is being a reflection, you will reflect those that are around you. But if there's a fire burning within you and you see to it that you don't let it die out and darken, that you and you keep it lit and you keep it stirred and stoked and keep fuel on the fire, people around you will notice. And that's a huge responsibility. Listen, I fail miserably at times. I get up in the morning, make the coffee, and start my day and work and deal with people and deal with problems. And before I realize it, the day is gone. And I'm turning in back to my bedroom where I started the day. And I realize that throughout the day, through labor and work and time got away from it, I realized that my own flame, my own fire has fizzled. And I'm working in and of my own strength. And boy, we fail when we do that. And we need to see to it that we keep our own flame burning. Because we will, listen, we ain't going to point nobody to Jesus. What if the star had been out that night? What if the fire that raged on the inside of that star that give it illuminating power, what if it had died out? They would have been a lot of people looking for him and could not find him. And you know, the Lord places us in people's lives to point them. And I'll say more about that in a minute. But people should be able to look at us and see us pointing toward him. Our language, our lifestyle, where we go, what we do, it should point people to him. So, in this dark and cruel, cold world we are living in, we don't need more cold, complacent Christians, but we need more that are burning bright for the Lord. Stars has a fire burning on the inside. Number two, stars have a lot more going on than what meets the eye. What do I mean by that? I mean, you go out tonight and you look up in the sky and we see that little twinkle. And y'all remember the nursery rhyme or the song, Twinkle, Twinkle. Even the kids got little star. And to the naked eye, it is little and it is small. But it's just not true. There's more going on up there than what meets the naked eye. They're way bigger than a little star. They're way broader and larger than what appears to our eye. Do you know that most stars are more than 1,500 times larger than the sun? Well, that's way bigger than small. I'm simply saying there's more going on. There's bigger things afoot than what we can see. Many stars are larger than Earth. And so those little bitty twinkles we see at night are way more than tiny bits of illumination. Most stars are bigger than the Earth itself. But when we look at the stars from way down here, all we see is a little pinhole shining through the black canvas of the night sky. And here's what I'm trying to say to us concerning this. There's more going on up there than what we see. So how does that apply to me as a Christian? Like, the best way I can put it is this. Some of the best, most powerful Christian people I've ever known has... what made them great was not what you could see, not what you've seen on the surface, but all that was going on behind the scenes, what you didn't see with the naked eye. I thought about the prayers that are prayed. We don't hear the faithfulness to the Lord that people give in their service. The worship time. Have you ever rode down the road when nobody was looking and been praying to the Lord and talking to the Lord, and before you knew it, the Lord was sitting in the truck with you? And nobody's listening to that. Nobody's writing that down and noticing what's going on in your life. But I promise you this, those times of worship and praise and to, with the Lord, and those private prayers, they make an absolute difference. I mean a huge difference in our public life. What's done in private absolutely will show up in the public. You may not can put your finger on it and say, I don't know what that person's doing, but whatever they're doing, it's showing. They got power on their life. Certain preachers, Brother Milton Taylor is one of them. When he walks in the room, it's just like, almost like the Lord walked in. I'm not saying he's God, but he has God on him. And that don't just happen by accident. That comes because he spent time. What I cannot see him doing and what I don't hear him doing, he's doing something that carries the aura of God. And that can be said about any one of us. I'm simply saying what you see of me and what I see of you, there should be, as Christian people, more to that story than what meets the eye. If all we're doing is putting on a show, come in and put our Sunday best on and no one to say amen and no one to raise our hand and say hallelujah, sing and preach and teach, well, that'll work for a little bit. But that ain't going to grab the power of God. There's got to be more going on in your life than just public service and putting on a show in front of people. By definition, that is the definition of a hypocrite, to parade something out in front of other people. I thought somebody's got some song music playing. It's all right. There's more than meets the eye with a star. I don't know about you. I don't want to just be a surface Christian, a shallow Christian. Honest to the Lord, I want to be able to get to know you and you know me and you say, I don't know what it is about that person, but there's something more to them than just the average Joe. That ought to be your desire as a Christian. And it ain't just with church people. I remember working on at the Ford dealership in Gaffney, and I was called to preach, but none of them knew that to start out with. But I was a Christian, and none of them knew that to start out with. They were just old mechanics, and rough. But soon, they would ask, well, how come you ain't going to go drinking with us, or how come you don't never cuss, or this or that, and just by living, they noticed something different. And boy, they'd poke, make fun, and I'd go to my toolbox, and there'd be magazines and crazy. They'd play jokes on me, and they were testing me, and pushing me to see if I was real. And you know what I found out? I thought at first these are some cruel people. They mean. I mean, I'm just trying to live for the Lord and do right, and they're just mean, critical people. But you know what I found out? They weren't testing me for the sake of testing me. They wanted to know if I was real. Over time, I lived real in front of them. I lived real not in front of them. I was just being the best Christian I could be. And I found out the same ones who made the loudest jokes and who spoke out the loudest. And over time, they'd be the very ones who would come to me and say, hey, I got this going on. Would you pray for my family? And people want to know somebody real and genuine. And we ought to desire that. It's your job. Does your coworkers know you as the person who listens to dirty jokes and who will go out clubbing with them? Or do they know you as a person of that has character and who's genuine and real and somebody that they can come to when their world falls apart? That's what people need. Listen to this verse. Mark, talking about more than meets the eye, Mark 4:22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. A lot of times we look at that verse and think in a negative sense. Well, God's going to uncover every sin, and he will. And be not deceived. Another verse, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we think of that in a negative way a lot of times. But it can just as easily be looked at in a positive way. God's going to illuminate and to expose good or bad. That we sow in the ground, if we sow it bad, it's going to come up corrupt. But if we sow good seed, it's going to come up wonderful and great, and God's going to bless it. Amen. And I'm asking you this evening, are you real? Is there more than what meets the eye with you in your service to the Lord, in your spirituality? There should be. If we walk with God in secret, our lives will shine brighter in public. If we walk with God when nobody's looking, then it will be clearly seen in public. I want there to be more going on with me and God than what you can see. Times of prayer, as I mentioned, times of worship, just me and the Lord. Do you have them times? You shouldn't start out tomorrow and say, "Well, I heard the preacher say this, and I'm gonna pray this morning, just me and the Lord, or I'm gonna worship Him this morning, so people can see it on my life tomorrow afternoon." That ain't how it works, and that shouldn't be your motive. It will happen that way, but wake up in the morning and say, "I'm gonna pray this morning because I hadn't in a long time, just me and the Lord, because I want to build character. I want to build a relationship and a deeper walk, just me and the Lord." And by time and faithfulness in doing that, people will see it. People will notice there's more to that person than just being a shallow, normal human being. There's something extra. There's something going on that I don't know about. And it's good. You don't even have to describe it to them. They just know automatically there's something of power and substance in your life. If you do not have those private moments, then your public testimony will be way less powerful and impactful. Number three, not only stars have a fire burning on the inside, and so should we. Stars have more going on than we can see, and so do we. But stars are used for direction and navigation. And that was way more true, I guess you could say, in the past than now, even though it's still used today. But in Bible times and even up through history, just until recently, the stars were used for navigation and exploration. They didn't have GPS and satellite and radar and sonar and all that stuff wasn't invented. So they counted on the stars to navigate them. And say, so what's that got to do with being a Christian? Before I get to that and apply it, sailors would use them, explorers would use them. Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 28, I believe, even talked about how that they were many nights at sea and that great Euroclydon storm hurricane hit, and said, "We've been many nights and no stars, and we're lost." They had no sense of purpose, no sense of direction, because they couldn't see the stars to tell them where they were at. And so why is it that stars are used for direction and navigation? Because they are constantly and consistently and faithfully in their place. They're always there. And boy, we as Christian people could take that to heart. They don't move. They're always in their place. Step out tonight and look. The same stars that you're going to see tonight, right in their socket, right where they've always been, have been. They was there last year. They was there 10 years ago. Many of those stars were there this very night that we read about, thousands of years ago. And they'll be there every night, faithfully, consistently standing right where they've been put. Boy, we as Christian people need to learn how to do that. You know what the world's sick and tired of? church members and Christianity that are in one day and out the next, up one moment and down the next, just as inconsistent as you can be, unreliable as you can be. Yeah. Listen, I'm not in the world, Brother Ned. I'm a church member. Amen. And I'm sick and tired of that. I need to be able to count on you. And whether you realize it or not, you need to be able to count on me and your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. And we can learn something from the star in Bethlehem. We could be consistent and stable and faithful. If you and I are going to have lives that can point people to Jesus, then we better be faithful and consistent. not up and down, in or out, but consistent and faithful. Because, hey, listen, this is why. Somebody's looking. Somebody needs direction. Somebody that you know, somebody that God's put you in their life to navigate them, to point them. And if you come to work tomorrow morning, well, let me say it this way. If you go to work tomorrow morning, because I'm not going with you, I got my own job. If you go to your job in the morning, do you realize you're going to go and you're going to see people that you work with every day and every week that God has on purpose put you in their lives so you could shine? And I mean have a blaze and not just shine, but shine and point them to Jesus. And if you go in tomorrow and you say, well, I'm just not feeling it today and things are bad and I just don't feel like living like a Christian today. And you're in church today, but you out tomorrow on the Lord. And you just check out and punch out and say, I'm just not going to be a Christian today. Well, guess what? By a week or two or a month or two down the road of in and out, up or down, one minute saying, oh, come go to church with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then the next breath is a cuss word and a dirty joke and running down your church or whatever. Yeah. In and out, up or down, tossed to and fro. Guess who you're hurting? You're hurting yourself, but you're hurting them people. Because they're not going to have any confidence in you. And the next time you want to tell them how much you love Jesus, they're going to laugh. Yeah. Say, go talk to somebody who will believe you. I know you. I've been looking at you. There's no point of reference with you. There's no stability. There's no consistency. And I'm saying we simply need to be like the star in our place. Whether the wind's blowing, whether there's a storm raging, be in your place. When it's hard, be in your place. When it's easy, be in your place and shine consistently, faithfully, where God put you. That's where the star was shining. Ain't you glad it was? That's how they found the Savior. It was right where it was supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we can learn something from that. Listen, I thought about the church we're sitting in tonight. And this property and these buildings, way more important than this property or buildings, the people, Amen. The lives that have been touched because a man named Andrew Kerrigan, Preacher Kerrigan, was in his place, faithful, steady, and consistent for all them years. And look at the people, because he was consistent. People said, I believe in that. I trust in it. And they, listen, we can learn something from people like that. People who are faithful in their place, day in, day out, year in, year out. We can learn something from that.
That's right.
It builds character, and oh, God, give it to me. Listen, I wonder how many people be in heaven because the faithfulness of Preacher Kerrigan. A lot. I mean, a lot of people. Ain't no telling how many people he preached the gospel to. If we just got the roll, the Morning Star roll, and I've looked at it, you'd be amazed at how many people has come through this place.
Yeah.
I mean, ain't no telling how many people heard the gospel, got up and walked to an altar, prayed and asked the Lord to come in their heart, save them through the years. I mean, ain't no telling how many people. But that's just to come through the church. Think about all the people he witnessed to and talked to and pointed. And then look at the mission board, the untold amount of money that's been sent around the world to help other missionaries and preachers proclaim the gospel and point people to Jesus. I mean, the preachers who have been called under his ministry and who have went out and started churches and pastored churches and preached the gospel, they're only heaven will show because one man was in his place. When it was hard, when it was not. I mean, faithfully, for 5 decades plus, in his place.
Amen.
Ain't you glad?
Amen.
I am. I benefited from it personally. Amen. And so did you.
Yeah.
This ain't about Coronate Preacher Kerrigan. He's just a great example of consistency and faithfulness. But that ought that ought to be a mirror into us and say, if he was that way, I need to be that way. If God can use him, God can use me, and he can. And you may not pastor a church, and you may not be a preacher or a teacher or a singer, but I promise you, as I said earlier, you are in people's lives that need direction, that need navigation. And listen, they can't just get on their phone and click the GPS and it tell them where to go. God's put people like you in their lives, and you are their direction. You are their point of reference. And so am I. And we need to be thankful for that, but at the same time, look at the responsibility of that. God expects us, and people need us to be that. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Finally, stars fade in the background. This is quick, but it's so good I couldn't leave it off. Stars fade in the background when the sun comes out. That's so good. And it happened in this text. But every morning it happens. When the sun comes out, those stars that shine bright all through the night, in their place, that fire blazing, they pointing people in the right directions, all that that went on, when the sun comes out in the morning, they just fade off into, can't see them. They're out of the picture. So what does that mean? Well, after verse 10, this star that was mentioned several times in the scripture we just read, after verse 10, after the wise men found Jesus, after those that were seeking him and needed the star's assistance to get there, after they found the S-O-N, the stars fade. And you never read about that star ever again. The same star that God thought to mention three times at least in the text, you never read about it again. Wonder why? Because the S-O-N came out. The sun began to shine. And so as Christian people, we should shine bright. We should have a fire burning in our inside and point men. We should be a point of reference and a way for people to navigate and find their direction in life. We should be all that. We should be consistent and we should be in our place, all that. But when people get to Jesus, we also, our job, as far as that say, our job is done. Let Jesus get the glory. It ain't about how many messages I've preached. It ain't about how many prayers I've prayed or how much time I've served the Lord or you. When the sun comes out, when Jesus is exposed and begins to shine in people's lives, he's the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that gets the attention. He is the main attraction, not us. And so the stars fade in the background when the sun comes out. I believe this is why the Bible said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's so true. I know that don't sound like a Christmas message, and I said this morning it ain't just the normal Christian message, but it is a message about Christmas that we can put into everyday life and put it in shoe leather and become a better Christian. It could have been delivered a lot better. Could have been a way better message. But there's enough truth in what you just heard. If we'll take it and apply it to our lives, it'll make us a better Christian. Yeah. Not next month, but tomorrow. That's, get up in the morning a little bit early. And we're done. But get up in the morning a little bit early. And say, Lord, I don't want to just reflect what I heard yesterday. I don't want to reflect other people. I need my own fire burning inside. I need my own power. So I've got up a little bit early this morning. I come, Lord, to ask you to put fuel in me. Stoke the flame. Breathe on me, Lord, so that I can have my own power. Then number two, say, Lord, I know people's going to be looking for me and looking at me to find you. I know you've put me in people's lives. And I don't want to be out of my place and not be able to point people to you. So, Lord, help me to be stable. Help me to be sturdy. Help me to be faithful and consistent so people when I do open my mouth and when I do say something to them about you, that I'd be believable. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, if you're going to be a hypocrite and say how much you love Jesus and then live like the devil and be a hypocrite about it, then next time before you tell somebody about Jesus, travel 10 miles out of the city, then shut up and don't tell them about it.
Amen.
It ain't enough just to hush where you at. Just be quiet altogether. Because as hypocrites and unsteady people, we do more damage. I can't tell you how many people have laughed in my face and said, well, if they go to your church, there's too many hypocrites down there. I tell them, come on, one more ain't going to hurt. but honestly, we need to be steady.
Amen.
Consistent. Think about this, and I'm going to hush, but think about this. The people you got confidence in. In anything. It ain't, just remove your mind from being a Christian for a moment. But at your job, people who, if your car gets messed up or your equipment fails, they certain people you work with and certain mechanics and certain doctors, fill in the blank, that, boy, they've been there. I mean, you've never called them when it shook them. They're there when you need them, and when they're there, they're just steady. Well, you don't want to call somebody else. May be there or may not. You want somebody that's consistent. You want a doctor that's done it before.
Yeah.
And they just come in off of a bender or you want somebody that's faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, that ain't asking too much of lost people.
Amen.
For them to expect that of us.
That's right.
We claim we're saved, we claim we love Jesus. The least we could do would be that.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. And finally, when we get them to Jesus, let Him shine. Don't expect or require the glory. He's the one that deserves that, not us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. And so let Him shine. Let's just dissipate in the background and go point somebody else to Jesus. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for people that I know personally, God, that has shined in my own life, Lord, been a source of strength and power, Lord, lit the way for me, God, to find my way to You. I thank You for all the people You put in my life, God, that shine brightly that I could find my way to You. God, their faces go through my mind now, and I thank You for them. Thank You for consistent, faithful Christians, Lord, who have been faithful to You through the years, God. Stayed in their place, Lord, didn't back up or bow down, just stood for You firm. Thank You for them, Lord. Thank You for those, God, those stars in my own life, Lord, that have been willing, gladly, Lord, to just back up and fade away when I got to You. Lord, I thank You for people like that. And I pray You'd help each one of us take these truths and apply it to our own heart and live like it this week, starting today, but especially in the mornings. We get up to go to our jobs and schools. Oh, God, help us to be the people that we claim to be. God, should receive glory. Touch us now as we go our separate ways. I pray You'd bless and honor Your people. We love You and we thank You in Christ's name. If we can help You in any way, You let us.